Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This episode of Butcher Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. That's right. Go to patreon.com right now to support this show. You can, for the price of a beer, price of coffee, or something else you want to buy that's small for Greg and I, whatever it is, you can support this show that we do every single week for the last 370,000 weeks. Today we'll be doing another mailbag episode because it's the 4th of July and there's no one that's willing to give up their holiday to speak to Greg and I. And I know you're wondering, really? Is that true? And yes, it is. So without further ado, here's Mark Messier. We'll answer a bunch of fun questions heading into the deep summer of New York Rangers. Anything is possible, or maybe not. We'll see. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Welcome to the episode. Happy 4th of July. I'm your host, Ryan Mead. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Greg, how are you?
Did you know the Tour de France goes through other countries besides France?
I watched a lot of weird sports this weekend, if that's what you're asking.
I mean, is there ever a weekend more prime for the weird sports?
No, it's one of the best weird sports weekends ever. I watched the World Tag Championships for a little bit. Gotta be honest, the scoring system is very dumb. The games end 1-0. You have to evade somebody for 20 seconds.
Is it as dumb as the current NHL point system?
It's close. It's close. I got to be honest. I watched, what's that game where you throw beanbags into a hole? Cornhole?
Cornhole.
Yep. Watch those championships as well. A lot of stuff. Watched a lot of weird sports. Watched the under 20 CONCACAF soccer tournament versus Honduras semifinals. Watched the double Royal Rumble.
Yeah, we're going to the Olympics. Hey.
Hey, look. Fun.
How about that?
Cool. Great times.
Amazing.
Happy 4th of
July,
everyone.
Leeds, by the way, is just becoming America's team. Did you see this?
I did. Well, they have a coach, right, that's from America. So he's like, I'll get all the
coach, and now I think their third American signing of the summer.
Oh, boy.
Tyler Adams. Tyler Adams is off to Leeds.
We call that the reverse 4th of July. Just taking over. Going back.
The Leeds United States of America.
That's it. I think we figured it out. All right, that's enough talking sports. I want to announce that I'm injured for this podcast, that I have a canker sore on like my jawline, and I'm podcasting through
you.
It. Really, really proud of myself.
Let me know when you can feel your leg.
Shit. How's that going?
Yeah. Oh, I'm injured. I had 12 different blood tests run on me on Friday, and I'm waiting on the results.
Incredible.
Apparently it's not like cerebral palsy, which is good.
Hey.
That was a worry.
Hey, congratulations. Okay. So
I know. Good for me.
Let's keep that updated. I think we're not breaking HIPAA laws because you're breaking it. I think that's how that works.
Yeah, I mean, also, I didn't tell anybody anything.
That's true.
Yeah, Greg continues to be able to have sensation in his limbs. That is, there you go, breaking news.
All right, let's get into the Ranger news of lack thereof before we do a lot of mailbag questions. Before Vince went on a see you later, I'm not tweeting anymore for the weekend, he decided to release
power,
him.
Power move.
Just such a power move by Vincent. Move. Came right out and released a couple things that I think are important to discuss. The Rangers and Kaapo Kakko sound like they're close to getting a bridge deal in place. Not really a surprise. Greg, on my side, I've heard around it's around 2 years, $2 million. I think that's exactly what we expected, and I think they get it done probably tomorrow. Because today's New York Ranger Monday, but it doesn't really count because it's 4th of July. So that's my opinion. So maybe as you're listening to this, it's done.
I bet you it's already done, and they're just waiting to dot some I's and cross some T's.
Vince would never say anything formally if it wasn't. That's kind of the way I look at it as well. And then I'm sensing optimism that Vitaly Kravtsov and the New York Rangers have 9 months before he was in traded before camp. I'm sensing more optimism right now than the last 9 months. And if he isn't traded before camp, he'll make the roster. Not a shocker at all. We talked about that a couple weeks ago as well. If he's not traded, he'll play. Shock. Who knew? Anything else?
Yeah, and I do think it's a mix of the Rangers fucked around and found out, and now his trade value is so low that it's really hard to trade a guy for what you feel is equal value unless, I don't know, you exhibit that you yourself value him. So I think Drury, for the most part, has realized the bet he's made, realized he could use the player, and realized he kind of has no choice at this point.
One other thought, I think Vince, he's talked about this a bunch, pretty publicly, and I think he just wanted to reassure everybody, and I think you and I have had the same experience as well. Not that we're insider journalists at all, but sometimes we do, I can't believe it, get actual scoops. But he mentions that Chris Drury keeps a very small inner circle and has put a tight lid on leaks. Yeah, no shit. So, like, a lot of stuff that you read these days from anybody, it's usually coming from other teams or agents. And I know that you made that point on our OT last week. If you want to listen to the OT, Greg and I break down a couple rumors, a couple other things as well. And that's on our Patreon. You can check that out if you'd like. But we've been saying this for a while. It's all agent leverage. I mean, let's talk about the Kadri stuff. Oh, my goodness. Let's get this out of the way. We say a lot of things on this podcast. There is a 0% chance Kadri's a Rangers. He's a zero. Zero. Zilch. Nothing. Nothing. No chance.
It makes all the sense in the world, and we've said this time and time again, for agents and other teams to use the New York Rangers as leverage. Why wouldn't you want the New York Rangers involved with your players or your clients if you're looking to move them? That is a very easy way to get other people to go, oh, shit. We've said the same thing about the Toronto Maple Leafs. They fall into the same category. If you involve Toronto, you're involving everyone in the National Hockey League because they'll have to take a step back and go, oh, wait, what? They're doing what? Who's doing what? Yeah, no. Anyone who can do 2+2 knows that Nazem Kadri is unaffordable for the New York Rangers. But what the New York Rangers have is a need at center and a desire to make their team immediately better. So you do algebra and you're like, yeah, they could use Nazem Kadri, but it's not happening. I don't know how else to say it. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But good on his agents, man. They know what they're doing. I hope he gets that $8.5 million. I always want players to get the bag.
I hope he gets the bag, too. He probably deserves it. One of the better 5-5 players on that Avalanche team that just won the Cup, obviously. But again, the Rangers have no way to make this work, period. End of story. If they do sign him, it would have to be like a major discount. He'd be like, yeah, I only want to play in New York and for 2 years for $6 million. And why he'd ever say that is he wouldn't, period. End of story. That's why I'm so surprised.
Hockey players are weird breeds, man. Ryan McDonough didn't want to leave Tampa, and he did. So, like
you want to start with that now? Because got a question from our friend Dan. I'll just read it real quick. He said, what the fuck is the point of no movement contracts and no trade clauses if you can just break them? There was a story that said that Ryan McDonough got the request from Brisebois on Wednesday to agree to a trade. My man, he has a no move contract. He didn't have to move, but he decided to because the GM asked him nicely. What is the point if that's the case? Are you just trying to be a good friend to everybody else on your team? He says he loved living in Florida. So then why would he leave?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the point is McDonough at least got to pick where he went, right? So he's not getting traded to just a team with endless cap space that has no future, like Ottawa or something like that. He at least got to identify the team he wanted to go to. And it's very clear that McDonough chose Nashville, and Nashville was like, all right, well, if he's coming here, we're not giving you shit except more cap space, because that's exactly what the fucking Tampa.
How do they do it? I'm serious.
How do they do it, Ryan? They fucking cheat. That's how they do it. I don't know what else to tell you.
It's unbelievable. These motherfuckers...
Also, now that I know so much of Tampa Bay gets triggered when I say the word fraudulent cups, I'm going to say it all the fucking time. Also, shout out to the dumb shit Ranger fans that also didn't understand the joke. How fucking dumb do you have to be? I'm calling some of you out. It's a clear joke. It's fucking July 4th weekend. You think I'm serious? My goodness. Oh, my God. Be dumber. Cry. Whatever. But anyway, that is the short answer of why you have no movement clauses. You have it so you choose your next spot, and it forces the team to essentially give you away for free.
Right.
The problem here is that's exactly what the Lightning wanted to do, and the Nashville Predators were more than willing to allow them to do it. I wish McDonough would have just said, I don't feel like moving. I signed this contract here for a reason. I'm staying. But like I said earlier when we were talking contract, NHL players are fucking weird, man. They really do think of the team above themselves. And it's to a point where it's actually like, it can't be beneficial to the individual. That's all. Like, does Ryan McDonough really feel like he's in a better situation now that he's in Nashville?
No,
he loves Tampa so much. He wants to see Tampa win so much that he left? That doesn't make any sense.
And it's so weird to, when you're really like an NHL fan that's super into it and die hard about it all, and you follow the NBA in any way possible, like just even on the skirts of what's happening with the trade deadline and some of the trades that Minnesota made for Rudy Gobert and what's going on there. You look Ryan McDonough, who I think you and I would say, I know his game is declining a little bit, but is a very serviceable and great top four defenseman. We agree? Okay, good.
To use the adjective serviceable at this point for Ryan McDonough seems unfair. Like, he's better than that.
He's very much better than serviceable.
I understand the concerns about the playoff mileage on his legs and the 4 years left on this contract. But this guy is still do the math. What? There are 32 NHL teams, 4 top defensemen for every team. So we're talking about at least like 120 some top, like, best defensemen in the NHL. Ryan McDonough is one of the 100 best defensemen in the NHL. That is without question.
He's probably top 50, if I'm being honest.
Probably.
Well, they give Ryan McDonough away as a salary dump. And yes, I know the last 2 years of that contract might be rough, but they might not be. He might be serviceable. It's a salary dump for Tampa Bay.
And then it's Tampa Bay's ability to keep Andre Palat and Nick Paul.
And then you go to the NBA, and Rudy Gobert at 30 just took a whole franchise's future. The whole franchise. Like, I would argue that Ryan McDonough is of the level of importance in some ways, or just below the level of importance, of Rudy Gobert on his hockey teams. And he was the salary dump. I don't understand.
No, it's plain silly. And it's why, like, when people are like, oh, what are you really going to get for Pierre-Luc Dubois? Nothing. Because he doesn't want to be there. And the NHL has made it sound like if a team has to move a guy or a guy wants to leave, you're not going to get anything in return for him. Which, again, is why Vitaly Kravtsov is going to be a New York Ranger on opening night. Because the Rangers fucked around and found out. And it's just so dumb how Ryan McDonough, again, a not ideal contract. And yes, if you trade for him, the odds of you being able to trade him again seem low. But you got literally nothing but $700,000 in extra cap space than beyond moving Ryan McDonough. And if that's what the Lightning wanted, God bless him. I do love that Julien Brisebois, a guy that we respect and would probably put in the top 5 GMs in all of hockey, he is going to fall for his own trap of, I put a guy next to Stamkos and Kucherov. He played great, and now I got to pay him. They've been doing so well about not paying that guy, whether it be JT Miller or Vlad Namestnikov, and for some reason it happens for a third time, and Brisebois like, all right, fine, I'll pay this one. I'll pay him. Obviously, it's a skill.
I think this time it's just they. I don't think their window's closing, but it's deteriorating quickly. I think they got 1 or 2 more shots at it, and then that'll be it.
If you had one or two more shots and you chose Pilato over McDonough, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Actually, that's a good point. As soon as you say it like that, it's like, never mind.
If you only have one or two more shots at it, I'd rather have McDonough than Pilato. They want to keep Pilato because they're trying to keep the window open longer, but I just don't think Pilato's that guy. I think I saw an idiotic Edmonton writer this weekend as well say, like, oh, it's a skill for a player to play next to McDavid and Draisaitl to score. Is it? What? That's why you want to keep Evander Kane? Because now you're going to make the argument that it's hard to score next to Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl?
We saw Artemi Panarin make other players look like Jesper Fast looked like a legitimate top six threat.
Buddy, Ryan Strome's going to make north of $6 million.
Yeah. I mean, just because of Artemi Panarin. He might come back. I don't know. We'll see.
Artemi Panarin. He's not. I'm tired of this game. Sorry. If he was going to stay, he'd be here, man.
I think he. We'll get into it at some point, I'm sure, with the questions. Yeah, man, the Ryan McDonough trade makes no sense to me. Congratulations to the Lightning. Teams love to help them over and over again. Don't really get it, but I do think this is like... I saw a lot of people clowning on Nashville. I get it, but Nashville's... They don't really have like a good future built out, and Ryan McDonough's a solid player. It's fine. I'm good with it. Maybe I'm just getting old hockey manned. I have no idea. You want to get to the million questions we have?
I mean, it sounds like we have a lot.
Yep, this is, we'll start with five-star questions. If you want to go, leave a five-star question, you can go to our Discord, go to our Patreon, leave a five-star question channel. We'll read it on the show. We're going to read some Twitter ones as well today. This is from JPlay. Is one big, not talked about piece the Rangers are missing an alligator in the bottom six to help get under the team's skin and put them on the power play more often? You mean like Brendan Lemieux? Because they don't miss him, like, at all. I would say Ryan Reeves isn't that guy either, but isn't Tyler Mott kind of that player?
Well, okay. This is the – what are we asking here? Do we want a piece of shit or do we want a pest? Because I think there are two different things.
Because I think, right? Tyler Mott is a pest.
He's a pest. He plays with a lot of speed. He does a lot of things other players don't want to do. When he's on the ice, he makes his presence known, not by necessarily hitting you to death, but just by always being in your face. He's the guy, if you're playing pickup basketball – he's trying the hardest, and you just get annoyed by it sooner or later. Like, I love pests. What I don't think the Rangers need is a piece of shit, and I think that is what this question is implying. Like, a piece of shit is a guy who's just shit-talking, starting fights, not actually adding anything to your team. Like, I wish if the Rangers wanted to sign a player who could do both, like Kadri, that's one thing. But just to sign a piece of shit so you have a piece of shit – that's not the point. Like that's not how you build a good hockey team. I don't think that player adds anything. And again, like, he's not like by definition a piece of shit, but what you're asking for is essentially what the Rangers traded assets to get fucking Ryan Reeves for. So like, if that player comes freely and is cheap and is $800,000 and is picked up as a free agent and does more than just shit talk, sure, great, wonderful. Do I think the Rangers need it to be successful? Fuck no. Hard no.
Agreed. This is from Gump116. As asset boys, how would you rank the Rangers' current assets? Roster players, prospects, even draft picks, considering age, contract, etc. Who would be the worth most in a trade? Who has negative value? So we're not going to go through the whole roster here. I would quickly say that there's untouchables being like, you know, Panarin. I would say he's untouchable. Fox, Igor. Get all those out of the way. But let's talk about possible available assets, people that could be traded, Greg, because I don't want to go through everybody. I have Keandre Miller as the most valuable asset being traded.
I think he's untouchable.
I think he's under the level, right there.
I don't think there is any realistic trade target the Rangers would include Keandre Miller in a trade for.
Okay, so then the next up is probably Kako and Hedl, if that's my – that's where I'm
at. I would say Hedl's stock will never be higher.
Mostly
because one, he's coming off a great playoff, but also two, like, his contract fits on every team, and that does matter.
That matters a lot.
I would say Kako is two. I would say Othman's probably three.
I think Othman's a little lower, to be honest.
Well, no, here's my argument is the Rangers have devalued so many of their own assets so much that Othman's value therefore gets inflated. Do I think Brennan Othman's going to be a better player than Nils Lundqvist? Not necessarily, but I think the Rangers kind of tanked their own stock.
Like the hype of value of Lundqvist is gone, where the hype for Hoffman's kind of still there. Like,
yes, hey, because if you're one of the 31 other NHL teams,
yep,
you could at least make the argument that, like, the New York Rangers damaged goods their own player a little bit. And not only that, that player now kind of wants out. So again, anytime you can make a case that a player wants out, congratulations, the value on that player decreases by at least 25%. So I do look at players, like, if the Rangers dangled Nils Lundqvist, what they could get for him this year is vastly different from what they could have gotten for him last year. Like, yeah, Lundqvist could be a piece in a Pierre-Luc Dubois trade, but last year we were talking about him as the main piece in a Jack Eichel trade. And that shit just ain't going to happen because the Rangers did this. Same thing with Kravtsov. Like, I can't put Kravtsov above Lundqvist or Othman because up until this point, the New York Rangers have made it very clear that they value him significantly less than they do other players in the organization. And teams know that. And now his value is so low that the Rangers almost have to keep him.
Looking at this, and I'm thinking about the entire roster, would you say that Ryan Reeves has negative value or positive value? You're not getting the third round pick back, but could you trade Ryan Reeves right now for a fourth?
I think you could probably find a team that would give you a third for Reeves.
I think that's interesting. I'll put it that way. I think Hayek is a negative. I think guys like Rooney. I think Gauthier is probably a negative, even though I know he's quote unquote requested a trade this week.
Yeah, can we talk about this? This is something I wanted to bring up because it was haunting my thoughts as I was driving home from Long Island yesterday. Is there any other sport, where you have to sign a contract to make you more tradable?
No.
What? Like,
no.
The Rangers signed Julian Gauthier because they're trying to trade him because I guess they didn't want to just let him become a free agent. What, you think that fifth rounder is that different? What? This is at least the third time now I've seen it. We saw it with Jake DeBrusque, right, who signed a two-year deal on trade deadline day, and everyone's like, well, now it'll be easier to trade. And then we saw it with Kravtsov, and everyone's like, well, now it'll be easier to trade. And now we see it with Gauthier, and we might see it with Georgiev. Like, what are we doing? Why is this?
They might tender Georgiev, by the way. Like, it's crazy just to try and trade him.
Ryan, I cannot.
I can't either. That podcast will be something else.
I don't have any other way to describe it beyond I cannot with Alex Georgiev. Why in this summer of 2022 am I still having Georgiev trade conversations?
But also, why is the conversation still teams have called and the Rangers are asking for a pick and a prospect? What is happening?
I don't know if you listened to 32 Thoughts earlier this week when Friedman was
I think
most teams are just going to see if he's going to become a free agent.
No shit.
Because the ask is ridiculous. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, why would they?
If someone called up and was like, hey, we'll give you a third for right now for Alexander Georgiev, like, do you want me to drive him or fly him there? Like, what do you want me to do? How can I help you?
Oh, my God. A player and a prospect is what the Rangers expect.
What are we doing?
In what world? In what? You know what, though? Let's zag a little bit here. Props to Chris Drury for understanding that there are so many stupid GMs in the National Hockey League that maybe he might. Maybe he might get a player and a prospect.
I mean, just keep asking. Just keep asking until someone says yes. If that's the case and it works, Drury, you're a better man than I. But Gorton had plenty of chance to trade this man. And
Drury had plenty of chances. What are we talking about?
They had legitimate offers out there that were, I wouldn't say good. They were good offers, but they were on the table.
They involved second-round picks.
Yeah, they do. They did. Ugh. All right. This next one is from Barbie Bacala. Is it Bobby? I've said Barbie. I think it's Bobby. Ooh. Is it crazy to include Ryan Lindgren in a trade for a PLD level player instead of Kako? I tend to agree with Greg that Lindgren will inevitably turn into Girardi. I also think his trade value is higher. Would appreciate your thoughts on this also. It wouldn't be like the craziest thing ever, but I think the Jets are probably going to want a more controllable asset than just Ryan Lindgren, and Adam Fox would be pretty pissed off. Put it that way.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think it makes a ton of sense to trade Lindgren for a PLD because you're just filling a hole by creating a different hole. And I'm not saying Keandre Miller isn't capable of playing top line minutes. No, he absolutely is. But by bringing in PLD and moving out Lindgren, you will have to bring in a top four defenseman, and you won't get him for $3 million. So it's one of those scenarios where if you want to talk Lindgren and Chychrun trades, it makes all the sense in the world because you are getting the guy who would be replacing Ryan Lindgren. And that's one thing. I'm all for that. But to trade Lindgren for a non-defenseman, I don't think it accomplishes what you want it to accomplish. Yes, you become better offensively and your top six becomes solidified, but now you've just thrown your top four into upheaval. And quite
your
frankly,
top four, that's very solid, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Proven.
You're taking a ship that's on steady seas and putting it in a hurricane. Like it's just kind of unnecessary, especially when you consider that, again, there are ways to address your top six without, you know, shitting in the waters. That is your defensive pool.
I like this next question. It's from Paranoid Android. Are there any confirmed reports that Panarin lobbies heavily or flat out dictates who his line mates will be? Whether it's Hedl, Kako, etc. We've heard so much chatter on this and other boards, but I've seen nothing substantial in terms of confirmed reporting. If true, considering Panarin's average playoff performance, should the team stop listening to any of his suggestions if they're conflicting with long-term development goals? The only official, or if you want to call this official, reporting on this has been Rick's last article before he retired, pretty much mentioned that Kako didn't want to play, or Panarin didn't want to play with Kako. Outside of that, you can look at the body, you can become a body language doctor. I've had some people I like and respect show me that this is not the case. I've heard rumors of it, but there has been no official report. And that official report would never come out. Like Panarin, that would never get leaked, period. So I'll say it's true, but I also don't think we'll ever get a confirmation on it. As weird as that sounds.
I'll say this. I think it's totally fine for Panarin to say the players he'd prefer to play with. I think it's absolutely insane if the coach is allowing him to dictate who he plays with.
Totally agree.
Coach has to be the adult in the room, and we've said this multiple times before. There's a difference between, you know, listening to the wants and desires of your players and bending to them, right? I don't think Artemi Panarin is going to demand a trade because he's playing with Kaapo Kakko. I'd be very surprised, like very surprised. And guess what? If the coach thinks that's what's best for the team, not just the individual player, I sure hope that is what the coach is deciding to do. Otherwise, at this point, I mean, it would be hard to find things you would have a coach for, right? If players were deciding who they were playing with. Like at some point, the coach has to do something to justify his existence.
Yeah, that's the whole point of coaching. Shocker. This is from Bradley. What's the worst Ranger game you've ever witnessed in person? I have a really easy answer for this. I drove to MSG during a pandemic, wore a mask, saw the Rangers lose to the Islanders 4-0 in a lifeless game with maybe 150 people at MSG, and it was hollow, lifeless, and miserable. And I drove back to Philadelphia, and it was just terrible.
I can one-up you. I drove 6 hours to Ottawa the week before Thanksgiving to watch the Rangers lose a lifeless 4-0 game with 150 people in Ottawa.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was pre-pandemic. So yeah, I'd say that game, let me put it this way. That Senators game was so bad that the next night I was supposed to go to Rangers Canadians in Montreal. I decided not to.
And that game was bonkers.
And the Rangers came back and won 6-4. It was the game they fell behind 4-0 and then destroyed all Canadian souls and won like 6-4.
Good times. Now, this is from David. Have we heard the pros and cons of the PLD trade from an asset management perspective, roster lineup in the top six perspective, cap perspective, and from a stats perspective? But have we considered that he's extremely hot? We haven't considered this.
Every day, I know he's having a great season, Starling Marte, but every time he comes on my TV, if I'm watching the game with someone, it's almost like a contractual obligation for me to turn that person and go, he's a good-looking man.
He's a good-looking guy. I wouldn't mind the he's a good-looking guy player. That's always like having them on the team.
I like the idea of a PLD 2.0. The Mets had Paul Laduca, and now we got Pierre-Luc Dubois. And I think I'm at the point in my life where I'm ready for another PLD.
Me too. This is from our friend Randy. If Ryan Strom is re-signed, what does it mean for lineup construction, plus or minus? I think it's actually a huge negative for the power play because yes. Lafreniere will not be playing on it.
I don't think it's a negative for the power play. I think it's a negative
for Lafreniere's development. Yes.
Lafreniere's development. Yes. I also, like, it's a negative from the perspective of it's just the most boring option. Like, at some point, if the Rangers re-signed Strome, I know we've said this before and we were saying it a lot during the extension season last year, but if they re-signed Strome, that's really fucking it. Like, the next big decision they have to make is not for 2+ years. And you're just, it's one thing, if the Rangers don't want to make a decision for 2 years, but they at least bring in a new center, you have a shiny new toy you get to look at and you get to dream about. If they just bring Strome, the New York Rangers really haven't, will go from the 2020 draft to the 2024 offseason without making a single big move. And that's just, it's just boring, if I'm honest. Like, as a sports fan, you want to do at least something every year. And if they just run it back with Strome, it's just like, are we really just a healthy Ryan Strome away from being that team? Is that really what this team lacks? And it's just so boring to me.
This is from D. O'Ryan H. The Rangers transaction that pleasantly surprised you and one that didn't ever live up to how excited you were when the transaction went through. I think Kevin Shattenkirk is that one. I was pumped when Kevin Shattenkirk was signed. Like, I was like, oh, this is the piece. Like, this is going to bring us. This is what Henrik needed. Like, this is finally it. And then the transaction that pleasantly surprised me is that when they traded for Keandre Miller, I was super pumped. And turned out it worked out. Worked out really well.
Well, when they drafted him, because
traded to draft him.
Yeah, he was not. I don't remember what player we were really hoping for, but I remember being like pretty mild on
Niels.
Yeah, that the words that I'm looking for. Cool. That I'm currently
fart
not
noise. That's good.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm with you. Where, like, when the Rangers got Miller, I was like, what? All right. I'll see how it plays out. And it's been like the best case scenario.
It's been awesome.
Now, I'm looking at his player page, and he actually scored 67 points for the Rangers, which was a career high. Oh, nope, sorry. I'm getting it confused. He scored he only played 18 games and immediately scored 67 points after leaving the Rangers, so this checks out for me. The transaction, if I go way into the Wayback Machine, boy, was I excited when the Rangers traded for Nick Antropov. I thought that dude was going to be the fucking truth. And then he sucked. And then he left, and he had a career year, and I was like, I don't know. This sucks for me personally. And then I went into like a little Ranger depression where I ignored them for like 4 years until you asked me if I wanted to do a podcast.
Here we are.
So indirectly, this is Nick Antropov's fault.
Dr. Zarius asks about Kadri. I'm just going to say it's not happening. Adam Furlong asks, if you participate and be competitive in an eating competition on the 4th of July, what food would you pick? Please feel free to use this as a launching point to discussion whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not. We will not do that. But
because it is.
Anyway, it's a hot dog. Anyway, Adam Furlong, I think... So what's the rules? It's how many you can eat in 10 minutes?
Like, what is the most I could... Yeah, what's the food item I can eat the most of in a 10-minute stretch, I'm guessing?
I guess. Or is it the thing I'd want to eat the most of in 10 minutes? I feel
Answer it both ways.
I always feel like my answer is meatballs, and I don't know why. Like, Swedish meatballs, I just feel like I could slam them down. Like, it's just like, they're just tiny meatballs. How bad could
it
be?
Wasn't that one of the questions where we would also ask people, how many Swedish meatballs can you eat in 8 minutes?
Could you eat a meatball a minute for an hour? That's one of my favorite questions. Swedish meatball a minute for an hour? And the answer is, people think they could. And I don't know if they could.
It's a small meatball. I think you can. 60 meatballs in an hour?
Yeah, meatball a minute.
Yeah, I think that's fine. It's like a power hour.
It's like a power hour, but for Swedish meatballs from IKEA.
Yeah, you get drunk on meat. The food item I would want to eat the most, pork dumplings, man. I would just give me a bite-sized pork dumpling. Let me eat that for 12 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I could do a number. The actual food item I think I can eat the most of in 12 minutes, I'm going to go with a fried shrimp.
Ooh, fried shrimp is good. It's just so fried is... When you start eating fried food over and over again, like that... You
get sweaty and greasy.
Yeah, get oversaturated by that grease.
Yeah. But I think like, if you put every food in front of me and what food would come victorious in terms of items I ate most of in 12-minute stretch, I'd say fried shrimp.
I want to say a vegetable to say that to try and be somewhat healthy, but then I was like, probably fried Brussels sprouts, and like, what am I doing? Never mind.
You're frying the vegetable. That eats the vegetable.
Doesn't fucking matter. This is from Dan from LA. Follow-up question to that. Which Ranger player could eat the most hot dogs in a hot dog eating contest? It's Chris Kreider. It's one of his secret talents. He's probably in the contest right now. You have
idea. If you found out one day that Chris Kreider was an actual hot dog, would you be surprised?
No. Isn't he CGI'd in a movie as like a piece of bread? In
Sausage Party.
Yeah, he's in the movie. Yeah.
He's not voicing the character, which is a crazy decision on his part.
It was weird.
I like to play this game with myself once a week where I try to think of what's the most ridiculous Chris Kreider related story that I would actually go, well, that doesn't seem plausible. And I never find the correct answer. Like if you found out Chris Kreider was legitimately raised by wolves, I'd believe it.
Yeah,
you found out Chris Kreider was the Matt Damon character in The Martian and he just like grew potatoes out of shit, I'd believe it. If you told me Chris Kreider was like a vampire, I'd believe it. If you told me Chris Kreider is the ghostwriter behind Good Will Hunting, I'd believe it. Like you keep going down the list. And you told me Chris Kreider actually ran one of the five families in New York and brought peace to the mafioso, I'd believe it. Like there is no story too fantastical for it to be not true about Chris Kreider.
It's so funny because personality-wise, he's just like a stoic leader, and we just make him out to be Jigsaw, which he is.
Yeah, buddy, that's called fascism.
No politics. All right, this is happy 4th of July, political holiday. This is from Joe Boy 9000. We're going to the Twitter questions now. How likely is it that Drury keeps the moves to a minimum in order to bank cap space over time, opting to await trades and waiver options that inevitably or invariably happened during the opening weeks of the season? I think Drury's out there looking. He's got assets he has to move. Like Vince wrote about this last week. You have to move Lundqvist soon. Otherwise, the values continue to depreciate in value.
Yeah. So his hand's kind of forced there. I don't think the Rangers will spend to the cap again. And I think they'll leave. Drury is good about leaving himself wiggle room at the trade deadline. And, you know, we know players will become available at the trade deadline that we're not thinking about right now, a la Andrew Kopp, Frank Vetrano, yep, Tyler Mott, Justin Braun, like all those guys. Those guys will be available again, but like those guys are filler pieces and not the guys you're trying to build a winner with. I think the Rangers understand that they need a significant piece, at least one right now. And I think the Rangers have learned the mistake of Patrick Nemeth where if they need a defenseman, they'll trade for one in season. They're not going to worry about that right now. But the Rangers understand that they can't go into the season without another center. So they will make a move for a center. Whether that move is super splashy or whether that move is the most boring move possible, there will be a move. But I do think once the Rangers address that center position, I don't think we're going to see much else after that. Then I think it's going to become very boring. Like if the Rangers re-sign Strom, I expect them to do a depreciated asset for depreciated asset trade where they move Lundqvist. Once they address center, that's it. I don't see them doing shit else.
If they do something else, it's very small wing signing.
I'm not counting the whoever becomes the Rangers' backup goalie. I'm not counting whoever becomes the Rangers' seventh defenseman. I don't count those. Like, they will not make a signing of more than $2 million once they make their signing of a center. That's my point.
Agreed on all that. This is from Daniel Weharach. That's not right. Is it
There's zero chance, that's right.
Yep, 0% chance. Is going out and trading for PLD, or PDL rather, really worth it?
No, it's PLD. What do you mean PDL?
My brain, I have dyslexia, so it changes things, and I reread it in
my
head.
Yeah, but you said it right and then corrected it to the wrong.
Because I got afraid that I was wrong, and I changed it, and then I'm an idiot. From what it sounds like, one of Hedl or Kako would have to be involved to make it work, along with another valuable piece, just to get a guy who I've personally never seen as elite. You have to remember that, again, this player is still 23, has been disgruntled in multiple places, and is still developing into the prime of his career. Great player. I don't think he's elite.
Not, Forget all that. Why am I not? Why are you serious? I have to trade one of Hito or Taco.
That was going to be my next
point. What
evidence
do I have to say I have to trade one of Hito or Taco?
We do not have evidence for that at all. I think these rumors to get clicks and to talk about things, like, yes, they're going to ask for Hito or Taco. Of course they are. But the Rangers know that unless they get a couple big pieces, their right wing line for next year is just Lafreniere, Taco, Kravtsov. I know that's a really young right side of the ice, but they don't have better options. Even if they trade one of those players, it's not really looking great as soon as you get past the first two lines. So, I don't really see them trading Hedl, especially if you're going to trade a piece, it's going to be Hedl. And the argument for that is this: his value will not be higher, as we talked about earlier. Maybe you don't actually believe in him, and other teams think they do. And maybe that's wrong, maybe that's right. But if you're going to trade it, it's going to be him. I think it's Hedl way before Kako because you need centers. But if you're going to be trading for another center, you can make the case Goodrow's your third line center or something else, etc. But Kako, like, your right wing depth is bad. It's real bad. And to not have him around, even on a very cheap deal, seems like a really stupid move. Seems really stupid.
Yeah, and I think people get confused. We have to remember back to something we said earlier on this podcast, and Vince reported it, but it's something we've been saying along the way as well. Chris Drury runs a tight ship. You're not going to hear about what Chris Drury wants to do unless it's coming from another team or an agent, right? Rule number one, that's not going to happen. So then what you are going to hear from other teams, of course other teams will ask about Hedl and Kako. Why wouldn't they? It would be irresponsible for them not to. So yes, Hedl and Kako's names are the ones you're going to hear in trade rumors because those are the guys teams really want. Here's the thing. If the Rangers actually wanted to trade one of those guys, they'd be traded. The deal would be done. The Rangers would have met the ask. It'd be over. You don't – those names, the longer you hear a name connected in trade rumor, the less likely to me it is that the Rangers will trade that player because the name's not coming from the Rangers, and it means the Rangers don't want to trade the guy. So – I don't have any evidence. Just because the Pierre-Luc Dubois-Patrick Laine trade is so unique in terms of they're two guys who didn't want to be where they were, so they were traded for each other. Spoiler alert, they still don't want to be where they were. But this is something else I've said previously where you're at least have to be a little skeptical that a player is asking out of a second location. And if they're asking out of a second location, you have to ask the question of if it's truly a player not being a fit where they are, or if it's kind of on the player at that point. And once you start bringing those questions into consideration, again, it's like a player requesting a trade. You lose 25% of your trade value. So whatever you think it should cost to get Pierre-Luc Dubois, shave 25% off it. It's going to be Nils Lundqvist, probably at least one first-round pick, and maybe another prospect outside of that. You're going to be surprised by how low this guy goes for. It's not going to make a lot of sense, but
and even then, NHL, like Friedman trades, saying that trade's really not even available and it's all fake. It's like, okay, cool. Like, yeah. And Friedman's also come out and been like, I don't really have a lot on the Rangers side. He doesn't say that, but he's alluded to it because Chris Drury.
Because he has no information.
Yes.
So this is the world we live in now. You're going to hear player names that other teams want. It has zero correlation to whether the Rangers want to trade that player. Sometimes it does. Like, we know they wanted to move Kravtsov. And we know Lundqvist is wanted out. But when it comes to Hedl and Kako, those names are only coming up because that's what teams want. That's it.
From Woodrow Sweats, do you have a 100 hockey men moment that sticks out to you? I guess for me, Greg, it would probably be when they just fired JD and Gorton. Definitely because they were being 100 hockey men. They were trying to protect other 100 hockey men. The letter came out and JD was like, eh.
I think this question is saying, what is your 100 hockey men moment? As in, you participated in a 100 or 200 hockey men thought.
Oh.
You're not good at this, are you?
No.
Podcasting.
Definitely not. I mean, we've been pretty honest about that for a really long time. Don't know what I'm
mine doing. Mine is I just don't care about the analytics on Jacob Trouba. Like, I'm a that boy good hockey watcher.
Got that dog in him. Trouba. That's it.
That's it. Like, I don't care what the numbers are. I don't care anything. It's like, I see Jacob Trouba and I'm like, that boy good. That's it. He checks every Greg box. And if that's a 200 hockey men box,
I feel like I've had a lot of 100 hockey men takes this year. I just feel like I'm getting old.
Like Ryan Reeves is another one.
Yeah,
where like
I love Ryan Reeves. I don't care.
Every time someone throws a chart at me, it's like, that's cool. I love him. I don't care.
I don't care.
I think that's another 200 hockey men thought of ours.
I've come around to Goodrow. It's just a contract. I think he's a fine player. I think his charts are whack. It's whatever. I don't care.
And I guess like if we were to go, what is our least 200 hockey men moment? It has to be for me at least. Like, I don't care. Don't explain it to me. Left wingers should be able to play right wing. It's not this hard. It makes me irrationally angry. If a left fielder can play right field, why can't a left winger play right wing? This is fucking stupid. I hate it.
Well, that's why I say thing with on defense, but that's why Nashville has four left-handed defensemen now. Fun.
Rangers really are like the only team that I feel like the only team that's like, well, it can only be 3-3. It's just math.
It's just the way it is. Joshua Carter asks, why does the NHL favor Pittsburgh as a market so much? I think they really haven't favored him as a market so much, and the team is well-run, and we hate to admit it a lot of the time. And a lot of that
comes
through.
There was a time where the team wasn't well-run, and the NHL did rig a lottery for them. And
that's the one time I'm talking about, Gregory. That's the one time.
I don't know. I mean, I think if Mario Lemieux never played for Pittsburgh, this would be an interesting question. But he did, so here we are.
They just have one of the most marketable star players in the league on their team. That's why they have to favor them. Sidney Crosby.
Yeah,
there.
Let's see how the coverage of the Pittsburgh Penguins look when Sidney Crosby retires in 10 years.
Oh my god, he's gonna play for 10 fucking years. This is for Brian. Would you say that the recent years have given New York Rangers a more intense rivalry with the Carolina Hurricanes and Tampa Bay Lightning than other traditional rivals who have been underperforming in recent seasons? I think the Islanders are still one on a team level. I think the Rangers hate the Islanders.
I don't find myself building rivalries with teams that are good while my team is good, right? Like, I have moments of negative thoughts about the St. Louis Cardinals, but I don't stay up every night hoping the Cardinals lose. I have moments where the Los Angeles Dodgers piss me off, but I'm not checking where the Dodgers are in the standings every day. Like, I understand it's different in this instance where, like, the Hurricanes play in the Rangers division, so it could work. I think, for me at least, rivalries aren't something that can ever be adjusted. Once you have hate in your heart, it doesn't actually go away. So there's nothing on God's green earth that will make me hate the Philadelphia Flyers less. Like, that percentage is already eaten up. And I think the same thing about the Islanders to a much lesser extent than you. But, like, your rivals are your rivals. That's not like – that shit gets written in pen, not pencil.
I think the team legitimately hates some of them too, but like the Devils, like I know they're a rival, but they're not really right now. Like I don't think the Rangers team hates
the Rangers are a rival to the Devils. Just because you are some team's rival doesn't mean they have to be a rival to you. This is a very common thought. Like the best example of that I can think of is the Mets are a rival to the Washington Nationals. Not a single Met fan has a single thought about a Washington National fan. Mostly because we believe they don't exist. But that's just it.
And you can have new rivalries. For example, the Yankees and Astros, I think you'd call that a legitimate rivalry.
Yeah, but that's born out of hate. Like, it has to be born out of hate. Just because the Hurricanes are good, that doesn't make me hate them. It makes me want to beat them, yes. But I don't hate the Carolina Hurricanes. And plus, I have no reason to. A lot of my life has been spent beating them. So I don't have any kind of hardship on my end to build a rivalry. I don't think rivalry, like new ones can prop up, but it's not because the team is good. Like the team has to slight me and offend me in a way. And the Lightning should offend the entire National Hockey League, not just the New York Rangers. But I don't think so in this scenario.
This is from They Made Me Sign Up. Did Drury always look at as Kopp as a rental, and was PLD just not available at the deadline? Wouldn't it have made sense to pay more for him at the trade deadline than for Kopp and others? And you get what he's saying here. Well, I don't think he always looked at Kopp as a rental. No way. I think he looked at the intent to probably sign and then realized they couldn't come to an agreement. Because before Kopp came to the New York Rangers, his number was probably like $4 million. He somehow earned himself like a $2 million bump in a contract, which takes the Rangers out of it. And he played really well. And another team's going to sign him for a longer-term deal that the Rangers can't afford to do. Like, they can't sign Kopp to 7 years. It's just untenable. They're not allowed to do it. And PLD probably wasn't available. And the Jets probably weren't willing to talk about him because, well, they had still had control. They didn't want to rush anything. And they were still trying to make the playoffs. It wasn't going to happen.
No, and I think the Rangers at the time were more interested in a guy like Shifley. Like, I don't think it's hard to try to make yourself think the way Chris Drury thinks. But I don't think Chris Drury's thought process was, I need another young guy to add to this collection of young men. I think he wanted, on the heels of a playoff push, a guy who has been there, done that a little bit more than Pierre-Luc Dubois. So if it wasn't going to be Mark Scheifele, I think Drury thought to himself, I'd rather just keep my assets and roll these dice again in the offseason and who is really going to be available. Because really all he traded was a potential first where, again, if the New York Rangers were uber successful, that first doesn't matter. And that's exactly what happened. But it's really easy at the time to play like, should the Rangers have gone in more? I don't think anybody was expecting the Rangers to make it to an Eastern Conference final. And I think the moves the Rangers made at the deadline reflected that, where they wanted to reinforce the team. They wanted to show the team that they are proud of their performance and that they deserve the added ammunition to make this playoff push. But I don't think anyone at last year's deadline would have thought it would have been a good time to go all in. And that's why the Rangers didn't.
And Drury getting an A-plus for the deadline, by the way. Fucking crushed it.
He nailed it. He nailed it.
Crushed it. This is from Bruce. Are folks using recency bias with Hedl, or is he really about to break out? I think the signs are there for a breakout. It's all there. Kako and Hedl haven't had chances to really perform in long stretches where they were healthy. Broke his hand last year.
Wait. But what really is this question? The only time you predict breakouts is by using recency bias.
That's a good point. Solid point.
If, you know what would be a really weird thing to say? If Hedl sucked in the playoffs, oh man, I think he's ready for a breakout. No, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I think he's ready for a breakout because he clearly just played his best hockey when it mattered the most. What other time would I say he's available? He's primed for a
breakout?
You would not. I don't like making fun of the questions, but that's a funny question.
It is funny, Bruce. Sharkbait asks, put tinfoil hat on. The NHL is keeping the Coyotes alive in the hopes and apparently to apply pressure to Matthews to sign there and as the savior of hockey in Arizona. There's no way. There's no chance. I don't think Matthews re-signs with the Leafs. I think that's probably a hot take for Toronto. But the Coyotes? To play in front of 5,000 fans? If they show up?
I don't know. I mean, I think the reason the NHL wants to stay in Arizona is because it's one of the few, like, it's one of the states where people just keep moving there.
It's a big market. It's huge.
Yeah, like, the Scottsdale market has increased, like, something like 150% in the last decade. And Glendale is now one of the biggest, the Glendale Phoenix market is like a top 10 market. It's just like, I think the NHL is still embarrassed about how things went in Atlanta again. And now they're kind of stubbornly sticking to their guns well beyond the point of maturation. Like, and you know what? There are Coyote fans. Like, there's a desire for a team. Everything that's fucking it up is just the ownership choices the NHL makes time and time again. Like, I think it's really that simple. I don't know necessarily if it's like, oh, there's no market for a hockey team in Arizona. I don't think that's it. I just think the NHL, in the most hilarious NHL fashion, can't find a 30-second rich person to properly own a hockey team.
So stupid. This next question is from SlickRick23. Alexi Lafreniere over under 25 goals next season. I'll take the under. I will. I don't think he's going to score 25. It's just there's
so much. How many goals do you think he had this year? Off the top of your head?
In the regular season?
Yeah.
Was it 11?
No, it was 21.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
What's your problem?
I don't know. Is this really 20's goal scorer this year? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, buddy. What is your deal? Now I need it. Now I'm double checking just to make sure. But I think you're a big dumb idiot. Oh, I'm sorry. He had 19.
Okay, still good. Is that's including playoffs or not?
No, that's just regular season, buddy.
Boy. Okay, 25 goals seems very tenable, especially if he's on the power play. Take the over. Yeah. Sounds good.
Oh, do I? No, fuck you. You're taking the under. You're taking the under so I can call you an idiot. That's the only reason you're doing it.
I'll take the under. That was bad research by Ryan. That's what that's called.
That
bad
was horrible. Research. 11? He had 12 as a rookie.
True. I was thinking even strength goals, but they're all even strength, aren't they?
This is your 200 hockey man moment. Where you're like, good. Oh, Alexi Lafreniere didn't score much.
It's more of an assist guy. Goals? More of an assist guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, 12 assists, buddy.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just eating the shit on this one. Let's answer another silly question. This is from Mike Parliament. Why don't you bring listeners on as guests? Oh, we don't do that. Not a lot of podcasts do that. Just saying. I've had people ask me, and the answer is usually no. And it's not that I don't like you. I think you're a cool person. We just like
It's what the vibe checks are for, guys. We host those. We're going to host more checks of them.
If we were going to bring on a guest, I promise it would be one of our top supporters.
That's also like the difference between podcast and actual radio, right? Like, we're not doing a call-in show.
Yeah. Like, maybe we'll do a call-in show sometime in the next year if I figure out how to do it. But those call-in shows are fun. I have a great time when we do them. But it's just not what we do for the podcast. This is from Zach. Do you think there's a reasonable chance Malkin will sign with the Rangers? And if so, how do you think the fit would be? I don't think this chance is zero. But I think it's close to zero. Mostly because he wants to get paid. He should want to get paid. But the fit would be sick. Malkin's good. Malkin's very good.
I've been meaning to slide into the Twins DMs because I just don't understand how they got to his projected contract salary. I'm dying to know. And I'm sure there's a perfectly rational explanation that takes emotion and actual player name out of it entirely. But like, if Malkin reaches unrestricted free agency, I'd say the odds of it right now are like 5%. If he reaches unrestricted free agency, I'd probably still only go as high as like 25. Just because I really just don't see a scenario in which he's accepting a deal for where the number doesn't start with 5. And I think other contenders will just drop a bigger bag than the Rangers are prepared to.
Because the Rangers don't have money. That's why. I think we hit a lot of the questions, Greg.
But also, just like, if the number doesn't start with, like, if he signs for less than 5, why isn't he a Penguin? I think that's my other question. Like, there's some of this that where I take a step back and go, okay, what's actually going on here? Not to wind horse this up really good.
The wind horse, by the way, legendary.
Incredible.
Legendary.
Third favorite movie of the year is that first take with Brian Windhorst. What's going on in Utah? Who knows what in Utah? My favorite fan theory so far is the Wolves traded for all those guys in the Gobert trade. The Wolves sent all those guys in the Gobert trade for one of them to come back to him and just tell him what's going on in Utah. But
so bad.
Like if Malkin eventually signs a short-term deal that isn't paying him north of $6 million, I need to know why it's not in Pittsburgh. And until someone can give me an actual answer to that question, I'm just going to be super skeptical about everything.
How many second graders do you think you and Greg could take in a fight? I would never punch a kid. So there you go.
Well, I have no problem punching kids if they deserve it. I think second grader. Here's the problem with second graders, okay?
There's a lot.
Some second graders, you hit them once, they go down, they stay down.
Other ones just keep coming back.
They just keep coming back. They think it's funny. They're like fucking the Undertaker. They just don't fucking...
They don't go away.
Right.
It's probably around 11. 11 might be a lot. It's how many goals Alexi Lafreniere scored this year.
I think 11's... I'm going to get tired like punching these kids. I think that's right. And again, I'm compromised right now where like all these kids have to do is go for my legs.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to do it.
They're like an AT-AT walker in Star Wars. You know, this
I know. I think I'm at 6. I'm going to feel so good after the first 3. Like I'm going to land some real good haymakers,
some nice
and cross
hits.
Rights on the 3. And I'm going to be like, oh, I can do this all fucking day. And then I'm going to get to about the 6th one. The fist is going to get a little swollen. My arms are going to get tired. I'm going to be out of breath. I'm going to be like, fuck, these kids just don't fucking go away. I think 6, no question. I'd like to think 10, but I think like a classroom of second graders, they're going to overmatch me.
This is the last question we'll do. It's from Jason Silberman.
You didn't want to end on punching second graders.
No, Okay. With the unexpected success of getting the Eastern Conference Finals comes perhaps unfair expectations. If the Rangers don't make the Eastern Conference Finals in 22-23, is this a season of failure? And has Gallant done enough to buy him one more season no matter the result?
I don't know.
I think if they get knocked out by a great team in the first round, it is what it is. That happens.
This is one of those unfair hypotheticals where I don't know. A lot depends on a lot. What move for a second line center or third line center do the New York Rangers make?
Are any of the key Rangers injured?
Did other teams improve in more drastic ways where the Rangers couldn't if they even wanted to? Like, did something fucking crazy happen where Pastrnak gets traded for McDavid or something like that? Right? If we're playing the hypothetical game, I can throw that one out there. These are the worlds we live in. I don't know. It's really it is an unfair question for me to answer on July 4th, 2022. Because right now, as currently constructed, I don't see the Rangers making it back to an Eastern Conference final. Not without – if we go into the – if we have to play the game where the only Rangers we can say they have are the Rangers they currently have, I'd quite simply say they don't have enough. They're down a center. They are relying once again a lot on Igor Shesterkin being Igor Shesterkin. I don't think this team is one of the two best teams in the Eastern Conference is currently constructed. They have work to do.
It's very hard to get back.
And I think even with the work to do, even if the Rangers bring in, I don't know, the Rangers would have to bring in a star center for me to call them one of the two best teams in the East. Yeah, they're not as good as the Lightning. And quite frankly, on paper, they're not as good as the Leafs. So, like, I understand saying they're not as good as the Leafs doesn't mean anything because the Leafs will always find a way to fuck this up. So it's just funny for me to say it. But I don't realistically believe the Rangers are one of the two best teams in the Eastern Conference right now, which means I can't realistically believe that they're going to be one of the last two teams standing playing an Eastern Conference final next year, which means I can't say it's going to be a disappointment if they don't get there. So I don't know. I guess that's where I land currently.
And then with that, we're done. We'll be back later this week with BSBOT on the pod, of course. And thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at OrionMedia. You can follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. We'll be back later. Love you guys. Happy 4th of July. Bye. Okay, and as you know, at the end of each show, I like to thank all our NHL Insiders Club. Been breaking some news in there. Some fun time. Talking about some chit-chats, some rumors, some Malkin, some Kako extension, some other things, and more, of course. But without these founding ladies and gentlemen, we could not be doing this podcast. So without further ado, on this very special holiday episode, I'd like to thank Adam Cassidy, Adam Cohen, Adam Cartullo, Adam Keach, Alex Gardner, Anthony Terragata, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Brett McGinnis, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, Brian Mallon, Broadway Blucher, Bleeder, Chris Finelli, Chris Howard, CJ Stellwagen, Conrad, P. Demich, Daniel Dezen, David Narrett, David Siegel, Dennis Dice, Darian, Eric Stagg, Garrett Reynes, Give Gardner a Cup, Garrett, Gretzky, Garrett McFly, Harrison Hasco, Hip Hip 89. Thanks for the prospect update this week, George. Hala Sauce, Ian Rodriguez, Ian Usher, Jake B, James Masker, Jamie Filippone, Jeremy Marquez, JD, Jimmy Mack, JJ Frankie, JJ, John Hardesty, John Shea, Johnny Thundercock, Jordan, Josh Kestenbaum, Justin Friedman, Chris from Florida, Christoph Berg, Lazek, Leshek Krokowski, Lou Giordano, Matthew Goodwin, why am I so surprised? Matthew Kine, Meatball the Cat, Mike Buckla, Neil Grover, Nicholas Dina Gola, Pascal Perrier, Pavel Kovrev, Pro World of Tech Gamer, Randy Tesser, Steve Manella, Steve Bullbox, Swinegard, Thomas Wells, Tom Sicleri, Tomers Jr., Tommy O'Neill, Twerk from Manhattan, Upstate, Vin, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, Will Spector, and Winston, the Golden Retriever. Thank you all for supporting this podcast and founding. We're listening to our stupid 4th of July mailbag. Listen, going to be an interesting couple weeks here. There are a lot of rumors flowing. I know we addressed this on the show, but the Stroman Cop thing, the one thing I want to pay attention to especially is that if it's day 3 or 4 of the free agency blitz of July 11th, well, and Stroman isn't signed, which I'm starting to hear rumors that teams maybe aren't as interested because of the pelvic surgery, possibly. I don't think he's gotten the surgery yet, or I think they're still going under evaluation. Maybe he's rehabbing. But I've heard that teams are a little less interested to pay him $6 million a year. I do wonder if there's like a real cheap Ryan Strome two-year deal. Just sitting out there. I just do wonder about it. Because I think Kopp gets 6 years. He's hockey guy. Like, he is hockey guy. Some teams giving him money. Ryan Strome, I think it might be out there. We'll see. Without further ado, I'm going to go eat hot dogs and enjoy a beautiful July 4th day. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with BSBOT later this week. We love you guys. Talk to you then. Bye.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.